to RTW Rewind. Red Rob will take you on a journey through time to relive some of the greatest moments, matches, and personalities from the sport of professional wrestling. Now, here's your host of the show, Red Rob, Rob Francois.
Hey guys, welcome back to RTW Rewind. I'm your host, Rad Rob, Rob Francois. I hope everybody's doing well all around the world, and thank you for being here. I have a very, very special guest with me now. Anybody that is associated with the brand, I mean, media group, wrestling Twitter, I mean, this guy is everywhere. He is a moderator for Vince Russo's Twitch channel and YouTube channel. He is the brand superfan. Inspired many parody accounts. He is the one and only Troy with some cheers. Now, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Thank you for the introduction. That was amazing. And I'm doing good. Yeah, everything you said is 100% accurate. It's pretty amazing.
Dude, I know you don't do a lot of these. We actually finally got to meet face-to-face on the Get My Go Christmas show, which we'll get into Get My Go a little bit later, but... you know, this is the first time I ever heard your voice on that show, and you have a very, very unique voice. Was it always that way? Did you ever have any, like, throat surgeries or any issues, or have you always had that signature kind of raspy voice?
The raspiness comes from birth.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, because I have this fatal lung disease that I was born with.
Okay.
So, yeah, my lungs are kind of like... As I get older, you know, they get more infected and raspy, and people always think that I'm like a smoker, but no smoke.
No smoke at all. Okay. I know, like, Brian Pillman had throat surgeries, and that's what gave him his voice, and Stevie Richards ended up having issues too, you know, which changed his voice. But right. Wow, we're starting down right out of the gates. I was going to ask you about that later, but since it's already out in the open. Is there any kind of cure for what you have, or will, I mean, what have the doctors told you, about your disease?
Well, I was born with it. It's called cystic fibrosis. It's a,
gotcha. Yeah.
Degenerative lung disease. The older you get, the worse your lungs can get depending on your environment and, you know, I guess your lifestyle, you know, if
right.
You're a hardcore smoker or partier, it's probably not the best for your lungs.
Yeah.
So, but they are coming out with new medicines all the time, new treatments, new pills. So I'm obviously on all those.
Yeah.
I'm on the one called Trikafta. I take three pills a day.
Yeah.
That's just the pill side. And it has improved my lung function so much more. It's given me more energy. So they're coming out with medicines all the time. I mean, but I was told I wasn't going to live to 20 and then. You won't live to 30, you know, that whole deal.
Right.
Now I'm 47, you know, and the doctor's like, I don't know, are you like a cyborg or something? You shouldn't be this healthy at this age. And I go into, I go to Denver like every, I try to go like every year. And I go in for a thing called the tune-up.
Right.
And I'm in there for 2 weeks. And they give me IVs and constant treatments, and I see the real sick people in there. It's pretty, and they're all younger, you know, like 20s, right. 30s. So I'm like so fortunate, and I'm really like lucky to be where I'm at right now, because it could be way worse.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. I'm gonna start calling you the Terminator, man, or the Troyminator. That's your new name.
The Troy Teeth 1000 or whatever.
Well, dude, number one, you look fantastic for 47, so congratulations on that. I'm 44. You look much, much better than me at this stage in your life. So, dude,
I guess.
Dude, you guys can't see it. I'm gonna put a teaser video up, but, man, you got, like, the Paul Newman, like, bright blue eyes, man. You know, you should be a male model. I'm telling you, man. You're a good looking guy. It's 2020. You know, not really. And I do appreciate being here because I know you don't do a lot of shows and all that. But dude,
I love it. I'm trying to get more and more out there because I mean, why not?
Yeah, why not? Right?
You know, I mean, there's nothing really else to do, and it's not like hurting anybody. I'm just out here just having fun and, you know, let's do this. I'm excited.
Now, I see the 49ers, and I know you always talk about them on Twitter. You got the Yankees hat on, the Yankees stuff in the background, Florida State. That's quite a different group of sports teams there. Tell me the story behind all three.
Okay, Florida State, I lived in Florida for maybe a month or so, but before I was a huge fan before I moved down there.
Yeah.
I got to meet Bobby Bowden. That was like one of the best days of my life.
Wow.
Because I moved down there and I had to set up, you know, my bank account, right? Pay bills or whatever. And I was wearing all my Florida State stuff. And the banker's like, hey, so you like the Seminoles? I go, yeah, obviously. and he's like, oh, well, Bobby Bowden goes to this bank. Do you want to go meet him? I'm like, let me think about the yep. Right?
Right.
So I go to his office and it's huge. I mean, huge office, all the trophies, all the. And he just greets me like he's known me for my whole life. It's crazy. And I go, yeah, I'm from Wyoming. And he's like, oh, Wyoming's so beautiful up there, isn't it? And he signed a helmet and a hat for me. And
yeah,
I mean, it was like a second in my life, but it seemed like it lasted forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was, and then, you know, just a fan ever since then. And let's see, 49ers since Joe Montana. Because, I mean, that guy just doesn't lose. Jerry Rice.
Yep.
You know, Ronnie Lott, that whole era, whatever. And then the Yankee story is I was in Little League. You know, I'm like 6 or 7. And my team was the Yankees. So ever since then, it could have been the Phillies or who knows.
Yeah, right.
Then I would have been Phillies forever because that's who I am. So that's my story on the sports. And I'm pretty hardcore with spike. I kind of take it a little too seriously sometimes. Like if my team loses, I'm like, well, that week is ruined. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Yeah. No,
I'll go buy a hat or whatever. So
I completely understand that. I was actually a Florida State fan when I was younger. Because of wrestling, because Ron Simmons went there, and they talked about that, you know, him being an All-American and all that on WCW. So, as a kid, yeah, that's how I started watching Florida State. So, that's funny.
Yeah, they're not so good right now, but
no, they're not.
Yeah,
no.
I've had to do some suffering since they got rid of, since Winston went to the NFL. You know.
Yeah. That's rough. So you grew up in Wyoming, eh? That's where you're from originally?
Yeah, born and raised, and I moved a few times with my parents, you know, because that's what kids do. They go with their parents. But, yeah, mostly just, I mean, Wyoming, born and bred. So it's...
Not much to do there, is there?
No, luckily I'm only like half hour from Fort Collins, which is a half hour from Denver.
I was actually just there on my vacation a couple weeks ago, so yeah.
There you go.
So, I love really nice town. Really, really nice.
Oh yeah. So we go up there all the time just to not be here. You know?
Right. Yeah. My mom lives in Loveland, so yeah. They They took us to Fort Collins. They took us to the Rocky Mountain State Park. It was fun. Yeah, it was a good time.
You need to hit Red Rock sometime if you can.
Love okay.
Red Rocks. I've heard of Red Rocks, right?
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah, that big giant amphitheater for concerts.
And, yeah.
Oh my God, that's a whole other. That's the best way to see a concert.
My stepdad's in the outlaw country, so he goes there quite a bit.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. So
climbing those stairs, though. Oh boy. I'm like, where's my poofer? You know.
So I was going to ask you, like, when you go to Colorado, do you have issues breathing there with you know, being so high?
Well, what's actually strange is where I'm at in Wyoming is higher than in Colorado.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm like in one of the highest locations like in this western area. And people are like, why don't you move? You know, when I lived in Florida, I was able to breathe because of sea level, right?
Right.
Oh, my gosh. I was like a champion down there.
Yeah. So the humidity didn't bother you there at all, huh?
No, humidity was good.
Okay.
The heat and the humidity was good, but here it's the cold and the dry and that's what gets to me.
Very dry. Yeah.
Winters are brutal for me. Oh my gosh.
Dude, I was only there for a few days and like my skin instantly dried out. It's amazing. Yeah, it's crazy.
Chapstick, lotion, you need all that at all the time. You know?
Yeah, you do. So you're not far from Vince Russo then. So
Exactly.
How long have you? I mean, have you been following him since way, way back in the day when he was a writer for the WWE during the Attitude Era?
I was a fan for sure. I was a fan of his creative ways.
Yeah.
But the way I got really hooked in to the brand, I guess, if you want to say, I heard him on the Stone Cold podcast.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, who is this guy, Vince Russo? And he sounds like, well, you know how he sounds.
He's just
really out there and very, you know, just talks really well. And so I'm like, this guy is really intriguing. So then I just went online, you know, he advertises as RussoBrand.com.
Yeah.
I went there and then just signed up and then just started following him. And you know how Vince, like, he likes you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he really likes you, like he'll get attached to you and, you know, like with Ocho and, you know, everybody. So I was talking to him and I told him about how I have to go down to Denver. And he's like, oh, that's in my neighborhood. You know, that's in my, basically my backyard.
Yeah.
I'm going to see if I can come down and see you. So I'm like, oh, that's nice to say.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Who knows if it'll come true or not, right?
Right.
So I'm sitting there doing my treatments, you know, in the hospital. And this big, giant, tall guy walks in. And at first, it didn't register. I'm like, okay, you're not a nurse. You're not a doctor. I don't. And then it triggered it, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. And it was Vince, and he's a lot larger in real life than he is. Like, people think he's only, like, 6'1". I'm 6'1", and he's easily 6'3", 6'4".
Oh, I didn't know that. That's funny. That's cool.
He came in and, like towered over me, whatever. And, and then he tried to get me on his on Twitch live.
Yep.
So we had the camera going, whatever, but he forgot to hit record.
Oh, man. Yeah, we were talking about stuff like that off air. Yeah, that's unfortunate.
So he was asking me questions and this and that, and he's like, how many hot nurses come in, you know? I said, oh, many.
Yeah.
And then he was there for a good 2 hours, and he said, like he said, he hates hospitals. He does not go to the doctor. So from then on, I'm like, man, if somebody's going to take time out of their busy schedule to come see nobody me,
yeah,
I'm like, yeah. That's loyalty, and I'm going to be loyal right back, you know.
And you are. I mean, you are the most loyal guy that I think, and the most well known of his fans. So,
I mean, I try not to be to the level of obsessed because I'm not. I'm just there to like help him out and support him. And but I mean, sometimes there's some hate involved with that.
So. Oh God, and we will get into that a little bit later. But I do want to follow up on the wrestling side. So, how do I put this? Were you a fan of wrestling during the Attitude Era, or like?
Oh yeah.
When did your fandom first start? Like, what's your earliest memory watching wrestling?
WrestleMania 3.
Okay.
Because that was. I think it was actually free on like CBS or NBC or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it, obviously Hogan and Andre.
Yeah.
So I remember watching that and I'm like, I cannot believe that somebody could literally body slam Andre. Cause to me, Andre was like unbelievably like not real. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I do have an Andre story though. I don't know. It was sometime in the '80s. Me and my grandma were at the DIA airport in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And he was walking through the airport, Andre the Giant.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, I don't know how old I was, probably 7 or 8. And I'm looking up at this man mountain. I'm like, what the heck? And it was for sure Andre. And I could not believe that. That stuck with me forever, just seeing somebody that large and knowing that that person was like, in my world, like super famous and like untouchable.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, were there anybody like surrounding him? Anybody that you can remember bothering him? Or I mean, everybody pretty much knows who a guy like that is, even if they don't know who he is. He sticks out like a sore thumb, right? He's huge. Yeah.
Well, I don't remember him having an entourage or a crew or anything. He was just. Mm-hmm. I think he had his freaking suitcase, and he was like in a kind of like a suit looking thing, and he was just walking. And I mean, you literally have to look up and.
Yeah. That's cool.
Somebody that large is—it's like hard to comprehend.
Yeah, the closest thing I met to him as a kid was the Undertaker in '91. I was 13, 14, somewhere around there, and he was huge. I'm like, not as big as Andre, obviously, but, you know, I was, you know, 5'10", 5'11 back then, yeah. And he was easily 6'9", 6'10". I'm like, whoa. Yeah.
Exactly.
It just looked mean as hell, too. Yeah.
Don't hurt me. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Vampiro. This right here is the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. Tune in, get tuned up, get informed, and enjoy the podcast.
RTW Rewind.
So, after WrestleMania 3, did you pick up on it, or did you start watching it years later? When did you actually become a fan, or were you like, I can't not watch this? I have to watch it every week.
Yeah, ever since WrestleMania 3, I was...
Okay.
I bought all the from 1984 all the toys, you know,
yep.
The rubbery.
Oh, the big rubber, hard rubber ones.
Yeah, yeah. I still have them downstairs.
Those are worth money, dude. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
I need to yes, not sell them.
Right.
I mean, they're all kind of like scarred up, you know.
It don't matter, dude. Like, there's not a lot of those left. So yeah, that's. Hang on to those, for sure.
I had the ring and the freaking the belt that went around Hogan and all
nice,
that.
Nice.
The Junkyard Dog chain. But yeah, I was hooked. I was hooked that whole, because they were all larger than life characters to me.
Yeah.
They were like, because they all had their own special thing. You know what I mean? Like their own moves, their own way they talk, their own, I guess, storyline, right?
Yeah.
And then, went through a dark period of no wrestling at all. Like, I can't remember, probably 90, like early 90s.
You didn't miss much. It was pretty bad.
90,
back then.
91, 92.
Yeah. It wasn't and very then, good during that time.
But then we all know the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
Hooked. Absolutely obsessed.
Now, early on, before that, were you a Hulkamaniac? Were you a big Hulk Hogan fan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Macho Man and Hulk, yeah, those are my
guys.
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah, me too.
I mean, but who wouldn't love Miss Elizabeth too? I mean, she was like the,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, dude, she was smoking hot, yeah,
smoking next level. Like, thank you for showing her on my TV, you know.
yeah, but classy too. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, very classy.
She wasn't a slut like Sherry or any other.
At all.
Yeah. God rest her soul, but Elizabeth, I mean, she was so different than everybody else. She wasn't like your typical female in wrestling. She wasn't Moolah, she wasn't Wendy Richter, she wasn't Rockin' Robin. Like, she was next level, dude.
She was like a wrestling prom queen, just like,
yeah,
and like, yeah, always dressed up and had the nice little smile, and
yeah,
she never like ripped her dress off, and you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was SummerSlam 88. She kind of showed her booty off a little bit, but other than that, no, she was pretty classy. So, the Attitude Era is kind of a good way to get back into it and pick it back up. Were you able to watch WCW as well? Were you a WWF guy? Did you switch back and forth? What was it like during that time?
Yeah, I was WWE, WWF, whatever it is, for like hardcore.
Yeah.
My favorite guy of all time is obviously Stone Cold.
Right.
I mean, I was ride or die with that guy. I mean, even the freaking King in the Ring, you know, when he said his famous thing, I'm like, that is freaking beautiful. Cause I like that uncensored, rugged, like doesn't give an F type stuff. You know, I love that stuff.
Yeah.
It sticks out to me. And then, I was hooked from then. I watched every freaking pay-per-view. I was a big time mark for the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
Like people I make fun of now, like I would have made fun of myself if I, you know what I mean?
like the AEW marks you got now that are, yeah. Oh. Yeah, we'll get into that too, but yeah.
But at least the Attitude Era was a great product.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, you're exactly right. So were you not watching WCW or NWO, or did you catch any of that later? Were you strictly just watching Raw?
I was like probably 95% Raw.
Yeah.
And then I'd switch back and forth when like the NWA would come out. I like them, the music.
Yeah.
You know, Night for Life, right?
Yeah.
I like that whole, because I'm always like I've always liked the bad guys for some reason in movies and everything.
Right.
Wrestling, I like the bad guys. So obviously NWO is the bad guys. So yeah, but mostly WWE, WWF.
Yeah. So you always remembered like the beer truck, the Zamboni, you know, like the cement truck destroying Vince's Corvette. I mean, like, dude, that was such captivating television that you had to tune in every week because you never knew what was going to happen. And like Stone Cold stunning McMahon, you know, Sergeant Slaughter, and then like giving the finger to everybody. Like, dude, like somebody got like pagers, you know, beepers were big back then. If you got, if you got 316,
like, it's your ass.
Yeah. It's your ass. Yeah. Like, oh, that was, oh God, dude.
Throwing the belt right into the river.
I would, that was my next statement. I was just going to say that throwing the Intercontinental title, in the river, dude, God, we'll never see anything like that ever again. Like, I don't,
oh no.
Number one, I don't think anybody's good enough. But number two, they don't have the balls to go back in that direction. And number three, dude, like, he broke the mold of Stone Cold. You'll never have a character like that. They tried it with Kevin Owens, but that didn't work.
Oh, my gosh. Fight Kevin, fight, yeah.
And I love Kevin. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, he's fantastic, but he's not Steve Austin.
No, I think they tried too hard
with
him to be. Yeah. There is no... And what is the was Moxley or whatever? He's, there's no, you're not Austin. So
no.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, nice try.
Remember another great Austin one was the in the hospital bed. He's like, right? He's like, oh, nurse, I got it from here. And then he beats freaking McMahon's leg.
Starts punching his foot. He's like, ah! And then it hits him with the bedpan. Oh.
The bedpan.
Legit cracked his skull with the bedpan. Like he laid it in.
He did.
You'll never forget that stuff. Like as long as we live. Never. If you were a fan back then, you'll never, ever forget that stuff. I could forget what happened on AEW last week. No, I mean, I didn't watch it, but just, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's nothing, even with Sting showing up. Okay, Sting showed up in AEW. Are you going to remember that shit 20 years from now? No, but 40 years from now, you'll still remember Stone Cold Steve Austin from 97, 98, 99.
I mean, I got a terrible freaking memory. I forget stuff all the time. But
I did too.
But I remember when freaking... Bret Hart put him in the sharpshooter and he's bleeding. Remember the blood in his mouth? And he's just, you don't forget that. That's like in a core memory, you know?
Yeah. I mean, even Mick Foley falling off the cell. You know what I mean? Like, oh just moments like that. You'll just, they're iconic, dude.
I don't know how that guy didn't die. I mean,
many times, right?
Oh my gosh. And you can see when Undertaker threw him over, he was kind of checking on him like, oh, did I just kill this guy?
Yeah.
You know? No, that's that whole era was just the bra and panty matches and the hands. Remember the hands?
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
DX. I mean, DX.
DX.
Both versions of DX in the early days were fantastic. You know, with Shawn Michaels, and then when he got hurt and left, they and just
with Hunters.
They kept on going, dude. With Hunter and Pac and the Outlaws in China, dude, you couldn't stop them. I mean, that was such. Such great television. I mean, the New Age Outlaws were fantastic.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, you didn't know?
Right, and then do the whole speech.
I did it every time.
Yeah, every time. Everybody did. You know, then you had the Hardys and the Dudleys after that, and the real stuff started. You know, Kurt Angle came in, and The Rock was on the rise, and Taker was the guy. Like, God, I miss those days, dude. I mean, I really do.
I used to look forward to watching on Monday and doing the pay-per-views. I'm like,
yeah.
I would literally get nervous before the pay per view, like, oh, it's Stone Cold gonna lose, and
right,
is Mike Tyson gonna screw him over, and
right? Yeah, dude, I was there for that. I was there at WrestleMania 14 in Boston for that.
Oh my gosh, you were?
Holy yeah, gosh. His first win. I lived in Connecticut, so it was a couple hour drive that me and my friend Eric went up there and saw it. We were up in the nosebleeds, but we didn't care. We were just there. So
now that's a memory.
Holy yeah. Yeah, first time.
I guess.
That was the first time. Sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I guess my only experience with Stone Cold was we drove to a house show.
Yeah.
I think it was either in Laramie or Salt Lake City. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But so we went to the house show and Stone Cold was there. You know how he does the beer?
Yeah.
Well, we had such a great seat that all the beer got to. I got some spray on me. beer spray. What?
What? I'm never washing his shirt again.
Yeah, exactly. Because he was up in the corner, you know, doing the thing, and you know how it gets everywhere, right?
Yeah, yeah. And
I remember getting some. I'm like, so yeah, never forget it.
Right? Yeah. That's badass. Yeah, I was fortunate being in the Northeast. I was able to see more wrestling because I was close to New York. I was close to Boston, Rhode Island. So I was able to go to WrestleMania. I saw him at the DX pay-per-view in Springfield, Mass, In Your House. That's when he came out with the truck. He slammed the Nation of Domination all over that truck. And then when did I see him again? Oh, Hartford, when they were about to sacrifice Stephanie McMahon and she was going to get married to The Undertaker, and Stone Cold came down and saved her. So, yeah, I was able to see a few good moments back in the day of Stone Cold. But, dude, when that glass broke, I got goosebumps, dude, right now, just thinking about it. Just hearing that pop from the crowd. There's nothing like it. Nothing.
And the signs going up. Remember the signs?
Oh, yeah.
The sign? You couldn't even
everywhere.
See those signs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The glass breaking.
Yeah.
You knew it was on then. You knew it was something was going down. And I miss it, man. I miss all that.
Yeah. Now, you know, the closest thing we have to that is, not him. Hang on.
Yeah.
It's on the tip of my tongue. Not him. Yeah, no, there's nothing.
Yeah, no.
not even Roman Reigns. Like, if Cena came back, he would still get a decent response, especially with him not being around that much anymore. But nah, man, there's nobody. There's nobody that can get a pop like the old guys. They just it's Rock, Stone Cold, Taker, Cena. Yeah, I mean, there's nobody, even Roman's not even to that level. And God bless him, I love Roman, and I love his new heel character. But nothing excites the crowd like the old guys. It's just, it's unfortunate, man, it really is.
And I mean, it's because those characters were, like, so much, like, real characters, not just, like, people coming down, I'm going to talk, okay, next.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they were just real, like,
well, they weren't heavily scripted either. Like, can you imagine Stone Cold getting a script? Like, come on. he'd tell the writer to stick it up his ass, and he'd go out there and just do whatever he wanted.
And do whatever he wanted. And that's what made it so real and so appealing, because it was like talking to somebody on the street. Like, yeah, I hate that person, or here's a middle finger for you.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, now we're going to fight. Okay, let's fight. Robots, you know?
Right. Right. But even now, like, you don't see two guys like Austin and The Rock just not even locking up at the beginning of the match, just going toe-to-toe, just trading punches anymore. You know, you don't see that stuff anymore. You don't see – there's no heat anymore at all.
No. There's zero heat. Everybody has to get along. And
yeah.
No, there's no heat. There hasn't been heat for years.
There hasn't.
That's why people stop watching. I mean,
yeah.
People want heat and drama. That's why – drama TV gets the most ratings, you know,
because
people love drama. They don't want everybody getting along and, you know, living that Wade Keller life. And
yeah, don't even get me started on that guy. But no, you're right. Like, there's no real true cut and dry heels anymore. Everybody has to be cool. Everybody has to be a tweener, you know, like Bray Wyatt, or, you know, even Baron Corbin was getting over with the smart fans, but MJF was probably the closest thing we ever had to an old school heel, and now he's a comedy character. Like, the one guy that was always in character, even in, like, autograph signings, like telling some kid to fuck, you know, to F off. Like,
I remember that. I remember him, yeah, like,
yeah.
Who the fuck are you, kid? Get out of here. Yeah.
Yeah. And now he's dancing with Jericho. Like,
oh, yeah, song and dance. I mean, maybe that's what all the freaks want today, but I hate it. I don't want it.
Well, that is what they want. I mean, that's what the typical, you know, Mark fan wants. They want the cool stuff. They want you to break down the fourth wall and
oh, come on, man. Like, I need middle fingers and beer.
Right.
And bra and panties and blood. I need all that.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Vampiro. This right here is the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. Tune in, get tuned up, get informed, and enjoy the podcast.
Yeah. RTW Rewind.
So were you an ECW fan at all, or did you get into that later on?
I watched some of that later on. I remember some of the, like, the freaking Sandman with his right, with the beer thing and the freaking Sabu. And, of course, Francine, you know. And
God bless her. She still looks fantastic. Yeah.
I was able to be on her and Chad's podcast, like, probably, like, 3 weeks ago now.
Yeah, so. I saw that. I was, too. So we're both Patreon members.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
See, yeah. It's fun. Oh, she's so good.
She's unbelievable. Yeah, but the barbed wire mat, the barbed wire, that stuff's crazy. I remember some of that, like, with Mick Foley and the freaking, who the heck's the one guy? He's always bloody and, oh, my gosh, brain fart. Him and Mick Foley would have matches all the time. They'd be so bloody.
Raven?
No, he's an older guy.
Terry Funk?
Yeah, yes, thank you.
There you go.
Some of those matches are like, oh, my gosh. Right?
They're both crazy. They're both nuts. Yeah.
Thumbtacks and barbed wire bats and, like.
Yeah, the legit stuff, not the doctor gimmicks that they use in WWE. Like, this is legit barbed wire shit. Yeah.
Legit, yeah. Like the wrestler movie. Remember that movie?
Yes, yeah.
And Blades and stuff. And yeah. I like that movie. I thought it was fucking sad, like, because that's probably how their life is. But I thought he did amazing on it.
No, he did. He did. And I guess they were supposed to do a lot more with him in WWE, but I guess he kind of flaked out on that. But, Jericho. I think Jericho wanted to actually wrestle him at a WrestleMania, and that never happened. I don't know if the studio wouldn't let him do it or what happened, but that was a really, really good movie. But, yeah, the ECW stuff was ahead of its time, which obviously, you know, depending on who you want to believe, you know, Paul Heyman claims that Vince – Vince McMahon ripped him off. And, well, maybe Vince Russo did too, but, you know, WWF, WWE stole the ECW style, and that's kind of what you got in the Attitude Era. Do you believe any of that?
No, because ECW to me was way more, I guess, extreme.
Right.
Than WWE was.
Yeah.
Because, as you know, obviously they had chairs, you know, with the Dudley Boys and whatever, but the ECW, they didn't care. Like, it was so hardcore. They would throw chairs in the ring. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what match that was, and they had like way more blood, and it was just, it was extreme to me.
Yeah, I mean, you have people WWE. You have people jumping out of the balcony and shit like that. Like,
that's right.
Crazy. Like, fans, it was like bring your own weapon night, and the fans would just bring in like frying pans and cheese graters and tandem chairs and shit. Like,
because they can, you know.
Yeah, right. Why not? Bring your weapon night.
Bring your weapon night. There you go.
They had like New Jack, who was legit, like, just crazy. Yeah, it was a different time, man. I don't know how a lot of those guys lived through any of that.
No, I saw the what is it, Dark Side of the Ring with New Jack.
Yeah.
That guy's still he's not stable at all.
No,
he's
got
all the stuff on his right, the scars from cutting himself and
like
he'll literally like fight anyone just because.
Yeah.
Like for real. You know?
Not a nice guy. Not a nice guy.
No.
I got to meet him in Cromwell, Connecticut. Just incredible. PJ Polacco put on a convention called Pro Wrestling Icons. And there was all kinds of people there. Terry Funk was there. I got to meet Harley Race, Marty Jannetty, Scott Hall, Bob Backlund, Tom Brandy. There was a lot of people there. But New Jack was one of their guests, too. And I was able to meet him and get my picture with him, and he had like three watches on. He's like, "Here, take a picture of my bling," and he, like, put his arm up, and I took a picture of his watches. Like, whatever. But he's like getting on the microphone there, and he's like cutting a promo, and he's cussing, and there's kids everywhere. He didn't care, dude. He did not give a shit. But he was nice to me, you know, obviously because he's getting paid to do it. But yeah, I can't imagine ever pissing him off or like that. That one dude did, and he just stabbed him. Like, okay. Like, the guy punched him in the nose. Like, I think he stiffed him or something. And he's like, fuck this. And he just, like, stabbed the dude. Like, crazy, crazy stuff. And that was, like, a house show. Like a fucking gymnasium somewhere. Like, okay. But
you're not going to get my three watches here, stab.
Yeah, right? I mean, I don't know how Jim Cornette dealt with him in Smoky Mountain, but, man, yeah, that guy is seriously a trip. Speaking of Jim Cornette, you are obviously one of Vince Russo's biggest fans. I don't want to put you on the spot. I don't want to get you any heat with Vince, but do you listen to Jim? Do you like anything that guy has to say?
Nope.
So you're loyal to Vince to the core. Yeah.
To the core, yeah. Cornette is he's not stable in my mind.
No, he's not.
You know, I know he has his opinions and whatever, but he's just so hateful to me.
Yeah.
Whenever I've heard some of his clips to Vince, and everything he said is just with malice and hate. Like,
yeah.
He has no in between. It's like
it's like zero and then like 1,000. Like there's no middle. There's no middle point.
There's no middle at all.
And yeah.
He blames Vince for this and that, and he's, you know, whatever. I mean,
any opportunity he gets, like he'll trash him. Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not gonna say he's not, you know, smart when it comes to wrestling. Like he's got a great mind.
Yeah, he knows his stuff for sure.
But yeah, he is deep-seated hate for Vince Russo. Like it's even on Dark Side of the Ring, man. Like he any opportunity he gets to bury him, he will.
Any chance to talk shit, to freaking make Vince look bad, to make Vince look like a liar, he's gonna try to do it. But it's most people can see through his bullshit. Hopefully,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
He's pretty. Yeah, he's not normal.
No, he's not. He's absolutely over the top. And at one point, I thought it was a gimmick, like he was working everybody. But the more I hear him, I'm like, nah. I think he's legit. Like, he's got anger issues for sure.
I mean,
I don't know if he's bipolar. Maybe I don't know.
I think he needs to get on some meds.
Yeah,
actually.
You know? Yeah, yeah, for sure. And to my knowledge, Vince never really did anything to him to justify that much hatred, other than what, killing the business, or you know, he always likes to talk about Crash TV, or even Bischoff uses that stupid ass term, or hot shotting a territory. Dude, Vince said you go out there and you write the best show that you can on that night, and then next week you try to do the same thing. Right. So I don't know how that's hot shotting a territory. I mean, you're literally in a ratings war. You're going to write the best television possible,
the best possible to try to get more fans to view. To get more money.
That's your job.
That's your job. Yes.
I don't get it.
Kind of what you're paid for.
Right. Right. I don't understand why, you know, he got so upset. I mean, why? Because he broke against the traditional wrestling. Like, that shit wasn't selling in the mid to late 90s. Like, society was changing. You know, you had the anti-establishment people. It was grunge. Like, it was attitude. Like, people were changing.
Yes.
Vince McMahon and Vince Russo had the foresight, and Ed Ferrara, to go with what the people wanted, and they did. So what's wrong with that? Like, what worked in the 80s wasn't going to work in that era.
And that, you know, that pissed off the freaking hardcore, like, we need to stick with the 70s and 80s wrestling. We can't be going off track and doing all this wild stuff. Yeah. You know?
So, yeah. No, that's so, right.
Yeah, unstable, that guy's a... Yeah. I don't listen to him. I just, whenever I, like, there'll be clips on YouTube or somebody will post or whatever, and everything he says is just hate, just anger. Yeah. And I don't know why you want to hate somebody. I mean, isn't he 60 or something, too? Isn't he?
Yeah, he's older than Vince. I mean, he's probably close to his 70s, I think. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I could be wrong on that, but yeah, you could. I'd have to at least guess mid-60s, you know. But
I don't know why somebody that old has so much hate. Like, man, let it go.
Just, let it go. Yeah. It's just wrestling, dude. Yeah.
Thank you. It's just wrestling.
It's just wrestling. Even Russo says, like, I was a writer for wrestling, bro. Like, that's all it is. Like, if everybody, I'm like, not just Cornette, but like, there's so many people that hate Vince and want to vilify him. Why? I mean, knowing him the way you do, why do you think that is? Is it because he's from New York? Is it because he's over the top? He's braggadocious? What do you think the reason is for wrestling fans to hate Vince? Like, they'll blame him for killing WCW, and he had nothing to do with it, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think they, I think they have hate for him because of the way he did right and the way he put on the shows and whatever, and people didn't like that. They thought it was not normal wrestling. They're used right. to old school, you know, Cornette wrestling.
Yeah.
And then they also saw his character, you know, with the black bad and the freaking, you know, the New York attitude.
Yeah.
I'm sure that pissed people off too, but that's a character. It's not him.
No, it's not him.
It's not who he really is in real life. And he's a freaking writer, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to have so much hate for somebody who wrote, I don't know, Sopranos or Friends or whatever. And I'm going to hate
you
forever because you wrote Tony Soprano into a scene. Okay, that's normal.
That's a fantastic point. You don't see anybody ever getting pissed off at the writer of freaking NYPD Blue or whatever, because I didn't like what you did to fucking Sipkowitz, whatever the fuck his name was. Like, yeah, like, no, but that's how ludicrous it is. Like, it's literally the same thing. It's entertainment. It's a TV show. It's not real life, guys. It's entertainment. It's a wrestling show. It's no different than any other TV show on television.
I mean, even when I was a freaking, you know, Mark in the Attitude Era, I knew it was, okay, this is TV.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, I'm not going to be able to live if Stone Cold doesn't win. Like, I'm calling in sick to work, guys, because my whole day is ruined now because he lost a match.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's written, scripted. Oh, my gosh.
It's insane. And it's even worse. It's even worse nowadays with the AEW marks, especially. I mean, I always pick on them the most because they're the most, I don't know, over the top. Like, you know, I'll read comments on Twitter, and I'm like, these fucking guys really—they think this stuff's real, I can't explain it. I can't explain the reaction of like, I can't believe Kenny Omega won. This is the greatest thing ever. I'm like, it's a work, dude. It's not a shoot.
You can't explain it because you're normal, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
They're not normal. Their reality of wrestling is not, it's just not normal. They step away, people. Like, get a life, right?
Like, they all have, like, wrestlers as their profile pic, and I'm like,
oh my gosh.
Or anime or whatever, it's weird shit. I don't know, dude. Like, maybe
a little weird.
Maybe we're just old. I don't know. Maybe we're just old, cranky guys, but I don't get it. You know what I mean? Like, wrestling is so bad now, and I'm not just talking AEW or Impact or Ring of Honor. I'm not watching WWE anymore either. I have stopped watching current wrestling. I haven't seen a new show since before Hell in a Cell back in October. That's how bad it is. And I'm a lifer, dude. I've been watching since I was 12 years old. I've been watching since 88. So I kept making excuses, I'd watch every week because that is what I've done for 30-something years. And now it's so bad that even me, a lifetime fan, can't watch it anymore.
And that's the freaking thing right there. If lifetime fans can't watch, then what do you think casuals are going to do? Nah. Next. Exactly. See what's on another channel.
Yeah.
Nah, they're not going to. I don't see wrestling ever coming back the way it was when you and me loved it. I don't know how it could.
I don't see it either. And it's like, you know, guys like Jim Ross will say, "Oh, wrestling is cyclical. It comes back every 10 to 20 years." No,
nope.
Like, it's not. It's 2020. Think about what we were watching 20 years ago in 2000. Okay, WWE had just bought WCW.
Yes.
They fucked up the invasion because they couldn't get all the big contracts. But wrestling was still good back then.
Yes, it was.
Like, it wasn't as good as it could have been, but 2000 to 2010 was if you go back and watch some of that stuff, was pretty damn good. I mean, even, I'd have to say maybe 2013, 14, like, when Punk left, that's kind of when shit really went downhill. Like, 2011 or 12, I think, when he left. I don't remember the exact year, but that's when shit really went down. And you were only left with Cena. That was it.
And everybody hated Cena.
Yeah.
I mean, hated him. Bad. Yeah. That guy couldn't do anything right.
No. And not any fault of his own. Like,
no.
Like, he's a great character. He's a hell of a promo. He doesn't do a lot in the ring, but fuck, Hogan didn't do either. You know what I mean? Like, Cena didn't have to be a five-star wrestler and still put on great matches, but people hated him. And maybe it was just a cool thing to do, but, you know, when he first came out with the Dr. Thugonomics gimmick, the word life and all that, like, that was badass, right? You know, rapping on everybody, but when he eventually turned face, I'm like, all right, like, this guy's still kind of cool. I don't know when the fans actually turned or what made them go against him, but... You know, for I don't know how many years now, you got Let's Go Cena, Cena sucks. Like, that was right. Like, he was the first one to ever get that response where it's like 50-50. Like, when his music hits, you hear all the high pitched cheers from all the women and the kids. And then he comes out and hits a stage, and you hear the dudes booing him. Like, it's amazing. Yeah. But I will say this, at least he got that kind of response. Even if people hated him, he still got that response. There's many people that might come out now. And it's like a fart in church. I mean, like, you won't hear anything, but, like, one dude be like, yay. You know what I mean?
Again? Oh, yeah, okay.
Like, Seth Rollins, does he really push the needle?
Oh, my gosh, no.
You know?
He's so nasally.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Then you got guys like Daniel Bryan. Like, Daniel Bryan is fantastic. But... They don't have a lot of guys like him because he's still kind of on the borderline of that old school kind of character. I mean, at least he was trained by Shawn Michaels back in the day, and you know, he grew up with that stuff. But AJ Styles is obviously phenomenal, no pun intended. But they're almost 40. Like the younger guys, like you know Baron Corbin or Seth Rollins or even Moxley. I'm not a huge Moxley fan. Like to me. Moxley was good when he first came into AEW, but once they put the title on him, it was pretty underwhelming. Like I don't think he had a great run. I think he's better suited to be chasing the title and not being the actual champion. But even him, like his promos are the same shit every single week. He paces back and forth. He's got this weird little cadence, you know, but it's the same stuff. Like, there's nothing. There is nothing from a Jon Moxley promo that I can pick out and be like, "Holy shit!" Remember when he said that, or remember when he did that on Dynamite? No, not one thing. But people, fucking like, I don't say people. The marks love him.
Love him
so much
because they think he's like gritty and has that attitude.
Yeah, he's cutting edge. He's a badass. You know,
he's kind of like. What is it, like, off the edge or whatever?
Yeah. But, bro, I couldn't remember one thing that he did in Dynamite that was anything of note. Maybe the death match that he had with Omega. Like, there was some crazy spots there. But other than that, dude, I could not tell you one Jon Moxley promo from the last year. But, again, even with our shitty memories, we can remember stuff that Stone Cold said or stuff that The Rock said or, you know, stuff that DX said. But... Nobody has that charisma anymore.
No, that's what it is. Everybody is the same 5'5", 112-pound dude. I don't know what the heck they do. They don't. All their promos suck. All their moves are the same. It's freaking wrestling's dead to me. So.
Yeah, no, wrestling is dead to me, and it's sad. Like I said, I'll watch clips on YouTube of like. Roman Reigns and stuff like that, or maybe right. The Fiend, because Roman is doing the best stuff of his career right now, but it's still not enough for me to tune in and watch. Like, even if I do tune in, I might watch his shit and then tune out, because it's another hour and a half of nothing. So, and god damn, dude, I'll watch the pay-per-views. Like, I watch Survivor Series, mostly because I want to see Taker and what he's going to do, but, you know, they even screwed that up, so.
Oh, god.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your boy, the coach from the WWE. 20 years, 2 decades in the greatest business that the world has ever seen, pro wrestling. Now, there are very few wrestling podcasts out there that I like, but this one I love. I love the name. I love the personalities. I love the content. The Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast, that's where you're at right here. Follow, subscribe. I do. Enjoy the show. I'm the coach. Till next time. Roll it.
RTW Rewind.
Dude, it's December 16th as we're recording this. The Rumble is a month away. We don't know where it's going to be. We don't know if there's going to be any fans. Can you imagine another year of this COVID stuff, dude?
I'm beyond sick of it. Because I miss going. I like to gamble. I like to drink. I like to go to concerts. I like to live life.
Yeah.
And I just been, because of my health, right, I've been locked down, like.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how you've been handling everything. Do you not go out that much?
I mean, when I do go out, it's usually to, like, mail out stuff at a post office.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And I got Walmart coming. They drop off my groceries, so I don't have to go there.
Gotcha.
It's freaking, I'm so beyond. I miss life, man. I miss doing stuff. It gets to me a little bit. That's why I game here and there. But usually I just listen to podcasts and sleep and, you know, play with my dog. Right. And
yeah.
Yeah, I'm sick of it. This whole. And then they're I heard that they're baseball season. They're already cutting that down. They're already starting it late. And there's only going to be like 120 games or 100 games. I mean. Oh, man, I'm sick of it. How about you?
No, I am. Yeah, no, I in Tennessee, things are a little bit lax here. They had early lockdowns, but for the most part, since the summer, we've all been able to go wherever we want. I mean, not everybody enforces masks, so, you know, if you want to wear one, cool. If not, they don't enforce it, really. Concerts are still not going on yet. You can pretty much just go to the gym, you can go eat, you can go shop, but there's been no wrestling events, unless you have like outlaw shows, like indie shows, but obviously, you know, nobody else is traveling, no concerts, everything's going to Florida, because like Florida is like fucking wide open, so, you know, concerts and wrestling and shit, they're all going down to Florida. But yeah, no, we've at least been able to go out and interact with other people. You know, there wasn't any restrictions about seeing family or anything like that. Like, there's some areas, you know, you couldn't even go see your parents, or, you know, like, your kid was with your parents and you couldn't go get them. So, like, your kid was on lockdown with them for, like, you know, two or three months. Like, that's crazy shit to think that you can do that in America. And, I mean, I get it. I know the virus is a deadly thing, or it can be. And I know, especially people like you that might be compromised. It's a big deal, but I think at this stage in the game, mid to late December, it's funny, the media kind of stopped reporting on the death counts, and they're only reporting the cases. Like,
true, that's a good point.
Like, where do you hear about, like, you know, dead bodies everywhere, or people dying, like, every day from this stuff? It's almost like they stopped reporting on that, because people are, for the most part, just getting sick and getting over it. I've known several people that have gotten it, even high-risk people that are overweight and obese that got it. And, you know, they were sick for a few days and they got over it. So I don't know if the strain has kind of gotten broken down over time, but, you know, it seems like people are getting sick, but nobody's really, you don't hear a lot of deaths going on the news anymore. It's more about like the election and shit like that. But, you know, we don't have to get into all that, but it's just, I get from your point, where you're afraid to go out because you never know what can happen, and being a respiratory issue and you having, you know, a respiratory, disease, it's literally the last thing that you need.
Of all things for them to create a virus, it has to be the respiratory.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
thanks for doing that for me. But yeah, I, like my girlfriend, she had COVID, 100%. She had it, and she was able to get over it. You know, I hadn't got to see her in a month.
Yeah.
And then, like, my daughter, she's coming over Monday, you know, for Christmas week.
That's cool.
I haven't seen her because she goes to school still.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know if I can't really risk that if she's around all these other kids. Who knows what they have?
Absolutely, yeah.
So I finally get to see her on, and I mean, I Zoom with her, but it's not the same.
It's not the same, yeah.
You need to see, you know, you need to in the same room.
Yeah.
But it's, I'm beyond sick of, I'm sick of it. I want to go back to life. So hopefully 2021 we'll get back to life. I got an email actually from my nurse today saying that, they're going to probably in spring, they're going to start giving out the vaccinations for CFers.
Right.
But I mean, man, is that even going to work?
I was going to say, are you worried about that? I mean, it's something that was kind of rushed to market, you know what I mean?
Rushed very bad. Oh my gosh.
I mean, what are the, I'm not going to wish any, I don't ever, knock on wood, dude, I don't want anything ever to happen to you, but yeah, what if a side effect is you get even a small part of COVID, like even in your condition, you know, it could be tough for you. So
no, I worry about that. Like, I wish they would test it better, or I need more proof that it's actually going to work.
Yeah.
Instead of just, here's your needle, freaking take it.
Yeah. Because, okay? I mean, there's a lot of people that are going to do that. There's a lot of people that won't even care, won't even check into it, won't even look into it. And they're like, I need to have it. And it's like, and I'm not a big vaccination guy anyway. I don't get the flu shot. My daughter hasn't had her shots. Like, I don't know what they put in that shit. You know, even the kid shots. Like,
who knows what's in there?
Oh, dude, I'm crazy. Like, I'm a conspiracy guy, but like, I don't fucking trust anything. You know what I mean? I don't trust the government. I don't trust the government. I don't trust the FDA.
Me neither.
The CDC. I don't trust any of those fuckers. So,
because it's all about money for them.
Absolutely.
Time to get paid. Here's your pill or needle or whatever.
Even medications, dude. I have ulcerative colitis, and what I take every month without insurance is like $1,200 a bottle. It's fucked up. It's so messed up what the drug companies can get away with, and even with insurance, I'm still paying stupid prices for it, and I have to take it for the rest of my life because there's no cure for it. So, you understand. You know, shit like that.
I know about that life, and it sucks, man. The insurance companies, they love us.
Yeah.
You know, we keep their pockets filled with cash, you know?
Yep, absolutely. It's rough, man. It's a weird world that we're living in. This year has been so strange, and, you know, we lost all kinds of wrestlers this year. We lost Eddie Van Halen. I mean, like...
Oh. Gosh, I know.
Pat Patterson, everything, like, fuck.
Everything this is... shitty that happens, I'm like, oh, 2020.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Like,
that's what it is now.
Aliens could ring my doorbell and fucking deliver an Amazon package to me tomorrow, and I'd be like, hey, what's up, dude? Like, I wouldn't even blink. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a weird year.
Must be 2020. Aliens are here.
Oh, yeah, aliens. Cool. Yeah, they're
on TV.
Yeah, right. Oh man. So what's it like being a moderator for Vince? Given the fact that he is polarizing, how many people do you have to ban? How many comments do you have to delete? Like, do you still get regular shit that you gotta cut out from the streams?
I mean, because I monitor Twitch and YouTube.
Yeah.
And he's just been on YouTube live, you know, probably like maybe a month or two now. He hasn't always been on YouTube.
Right.
Usually it's just Twitch.
Yeah.
So I could focus on Twitch. Twitch is locked down. There's like no hate on Twitch anymore. But YouTube,
yeah, exactly. YouTube is wide open. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I literally, like, if I have to use the bathroom whenever, I'll come back and Vince will be like, where'd you go? I had to, there's all these people that are talking shit. I'm like, sorry, I'll be, you know, I'm here to, but I'd freaking ban. Let's see, with YouTube, you can actually ban people, and they're like, okay, bye. But like on Twitch, if you ban somebody, like, they will email Vince and be like, hey, why am I banned? And I'm going to freaking, you know, I'm pissed off now.
Oh,
but with YouTube, they freaking can create new names and just be like, I freaking hate you. You're a scumbag.
Yeah.
So I got a ban, and I ban easily because I know Mondays and Wednesday he does his wrestling. He watches his wrestling shows.
Yeah.
So Mondays is brutal because he's on for a good hour and a half.
Yeah.
People are just on there just, what? Get a life, man. Why?
Yeah.
So ban. And then some comments, I just hide the comment because they're not totally like, I fucking hate you. They're just like, oh, you know, you only have 100 viewers in here, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So then I just, you know, time them out. But then a lot of people are just, they're so hateful. But it's YouTube. And I told Vince, I said, I would appreciate if you could, like, give me another, because I'm the only one on YouTube.
Oh, no shit. I didn't know that.
I'm the only one on YouTube, man. I'm patrolling that hole. There's a lot of freaks on there. So I told him, I said, if you could maybe get Potts or somebody else in there to help me ban these pieces of shit, that'd be nice.
Yeah, YouTube's tough. I was a gaming, I was a moderator for a pretty well-known gaming channel, and he had about 20 mods, but even that, like, he's got 4,000, 5,000 people watching a stream. Yes. Even with the chat in slow mode, people are just rattling shit off. And a lot of it's kids, like, notice me or shout me out or shit like that when it comes to games.
But,
but then there's some douchebags, too, where you just got to drop the banhammer on them. But, like, yeah, I can't imagine being on YouTube for Vince and having all that shit and being the only one there. So,
freaking brutal. Man.
Yeah.
And I say on there, I type in there, I go, talk shit, get banned.
Yeah.
That's what I say on there.
You yeah, know? Pretty much.
There's a lot of good people on there that like the regulars now that are there all the time. But
yeah, for sure.
You get the freaking creeps that come in there and, you know, you killed WCW and...
You killed WCW, you killed Owen, like...
Oh, yeah.
Owen's probably the biggest one that he gets shit for. But yeah, it's goddamn. Like, it's not like he put him up there himself. He didn't hire the crew that fucking rigged him up. You know what I mean? Like,
and I know he said over and over that it's like the worst thing he's ever did was be in wrestling.
Uh-huh.
It's like the worst. Uh-huh. He said if he could go back, he would never have gotten into this business because it's so. Just fucked up, you know.
Yeah,
it's corrupt. And just
yep.
Ugh.
He wanted to be in radio, and he still wants to be in radio.
Yes.
Which I don't know why. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure. I can't imagine he wouldn't get a job. Maybe he just hasn't tried hard enough. But like, you know, he's. I don't. And maybe radio isn't for him because he's so long winded. Like they'd never go to a fucking break because Vince is
no
bro. Let me tell you something, bro.
Yeah, when he gets
okay, bro. Let me. Yeah, like
yes.
Yeah.
When he gets something that he's focused on, and like you can see, like when he does the 8 days a week, and you can see Jeff is just like, you know, checking. Is like okay.
Jeff is never. Yeah, it looks like Jeff is never paying attention. Like he's always looking off in a distance, or maybe he's gaming at the same time. I don't know.
Love it. But when Vince goes off on his thing, it's like all right, it's time to focus on that and.
Yeah.
20 minutes later, okay, on to the next subject, you know. But, I mean, that's what he's passionate. And I
love it. That. Yeah, me too.
If you're passionate about something, then be passionate. Don't do half-assed.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. You know? You're absolutely right. And you know, you mentioned earlier he is not that character you saw on TV. He is a genuine, humble guy. And even when he's on Twitch or on his podcast, he's still working people. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's still kind of in the gimmick. He's always whenever he's in front of a mic or a camera, he's working. But if you take the time to get to know him behind the scenes, and I've gotten a small portion of that, he is one of the nicest kindest guys I've ever met. Obviously, you experienced that yourself, but like, even if you don't have a life threatening condition, like he's nice to everybody as long as they're nice to him.
Exactly.
And he forgives a lot of people too that may have wronged him because he doesn't like drama. He doesn't like confrontation. He doesn't want people fighting. If you watch That's Life, where you know it's his Christian show, you know he talks about that. Like I don't want any conflict. Like even his stuff with me and John Wanglin, which we can get into now. Like dude, even a couple weeks ago on Bromance when we were on, like he doesn't want us to all be mad at each other. Like he wants to clear all this shit up. You know, he doesn't want Hoosie and Durban and Feeney to keep doing that. Like, he doesn't understand, like, why can't you guys just forgive and forget, bro? And it's like, they try to tell him, like, this guy's a fucking douchebag, man. Like, he's beyond reproach, but...
Beyond, yes.
Vince just wants peace and love, dude. And that's a legit thing. Like, that's not real, a gimmick. Yep. That's real. That's Vincent Russo saying, I want everybody to get along. And he's one of the nicest dudes you'll ever meet.
Yeah, I got to meet him another time. We went to a record store in Loveland.
Oh, nice. You got some albums, bro.
Got some albums. I bought him an Ozzy album, and he bought me a Quiet Riot album.
Nice.
So that was a fun day. And then we had coffee and just, I mean, he's just like a freaking dude. He's just a guy. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, I'm just talking to you. Like, and he asked how your family is. It's not like cutting promos. And he never even says, you know what's weird is he never says, bro. Like when me and him would hang out, he'd never. That's always his like gimmick or whatever.
Yeah.
But when you see him face to face, like in a normal setting.
Yeah.
There's no like oh, bro, this and that. It's he just talks to you like a friend. It's freaking. I love it.
I had no idea. I didn't know that about him. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
No shit. I just thought the Jersey guy and the New York guy, like, I thought that was just bro, but that's funny. I didn't know that.
And then, like, when we'd be walking around, he would literally say, "Hey, guys, how you doing?" Just as strangers.
Yeah.
To, you know, they're nobodies, and he's just like, "I hope you guys are doing good, and what's going on today?" And, yeah, he just, people have just the wrong impression of him. It pisses me off. I hate it.
Pisses me off, too. Now, obviously, I don't know him as well as you do, but, like, that backs up everything I've heard, you know, from people that know him, you know, behind the scenes. Yeah, he is that nice of a guy, and I hate to see him go through drama because I know, I know all the DMs he gets, like all the emails he gets, like, it's ridiculous how much that he has to put up with again because he was a writer for a freaking wrestling show. Well, he is a former WCW champion, so we do have to give him that much.
True, yes, he was.
But I mean, fuck, it's still a work, man. But no, like, yeah, I get a lot of emails and shit, but I can't imagine, like, 30 times, 40, 50 times more than I get all day of just, and I'm sure it's not all bad. I'm sure he does get a lot of, but there's a lot of marks. I mean, I'm not going to put you on the spot again, but you know how wrestling fans are, and I'm not going to speak for everybody in the brand, but it's no different with the brand or Cornette marks or AW marks or Meltzer marks. Some people take the shit too far. Not everybody in the brand is on the up and up. Some of them are probably a little bit disturbed. You know, God bless their hearts. But I can't imagine even just the marks that email him or message him. Be like, "Hey, Vince, what? Remember the time when fucking Stone Cold did this?" And it's like, block.
They ask him that. They ask him that in YouTube. Like, yeah. "Hey, did you write that one part with the scene?" And he's just like, 20 years ago. I don't know.
Right. And then everybody blames him for fucking Mae Young's hand. It's like, it wasn't even me, bro. I wasn't even there. I was in WCW. Like, people don't even know what he did, right? Like, I can't imagine. That poor guy, dude.
I don't think they want to know. They just want to,
yeah, no,
you know, just rip on him and be like, "Oh, this is who you are. I hate you."
So, yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
I can imagine his DMs, his emails, because he puts his email out there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, official Vince Russo, you know.
Yeah.
So people are like, "All right, I'm on a keyboard and freaking go off." And what the get a life, man.
Yeah, yeah, I know. And a lot of that has brought attention to you because you do like to donate your money to Vince for being entertained, which is that it's his job. He's here to that's another thing people don't understand is like him on Twitch, him on YouTube, him on Realm, him on Patreon, like, it's his freaking, like, this is his job. Like, it's literally his job. God bless him, he doesn't have to go punch a clock and be a 9-to-5 or anything like that, like, go to an office. Like, podcasting and you know, streaming is his job. Why, I mean, the whole point of it is for people to give you money for entertaining them. And you just happen to be someone that gives more than other people, which, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I've apologized to you before. I apologized to you last week when we did the Get My Go Christmas special, every time I see you, I'm going to apologize. I feel like shit about it. For my role with John Wanglin, and we're on Hameen Media Group right now. Thank God Ben, liked my show and put me on their main feed. Ben is absolutely fantastic. And the synergy between HMG and the brand, it's such a great working relationship that they have with each other. So the fans know who I'm talking about when I say John Wanglin or Johnny Podcasting. If you guys don't know, then you just need to Google Get My Go and watch the beautiful shit that Creative Control puts out. But when I was part of the Reality Check Podcast Network, we obviously did a parody of Castrating the Marks called Castrating the Bros. And I was the one that played the cheer noise every time. The bits noise. That was me. I had it on my phone. And obviously I did it way too fucking much because I thought it was hilarious. So like every fucking 6 seconds, it's like, "Ding, try it with some cheers." Yeah, that was me. John's like, "God damn it, Troy, okay. Well, you paid for his kids' college fund. All right, I get it. Stop cheering." But there was even a parody account called Troy with some cheers. Or Troy Russo. It's like, dude, you're just a fucking fan. Like, you have people that give you shit for just being entertained by Vince and giving him money. Like, what is, myself included, what is wrong with people? I don't understand the need to make fun of you because you give money to Vince Russo. Like, in what world is that okay?
I don't know. See, the way I look at it is I'm not...
I mean, does it bother you?
The way I look at it is I'm not giving Vince money, even though it is giving him money. The way I look at it is like I'm supporting his, I guess, business. Because if people stop watching, you know, doing bits, it's over. Vince is going to have to, I don't know what he'll do.
He'll have to go get a job. Like, yeah, you're right.
So I want Vince to stay around and, you know, keep entertaining me. That's what I, you know, support him for with all the shows and all the podcasts, whatever.
But yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy, man. When I heard that the first time, I listened to it like twice. I'm like, man, I got this much hate for, I didn't even know people like knew me. I was like, I'm nobody. Yeah. Why is anybody even?
We all know you.
That's crazy to me. What did you think when you were like, was it brought up to you? Like, hey, let's do a parody of making fun of everybody, or how did it even?
That was John's idea, and he was feuding with Vince for whatever reason at that time. Like, you saw the Get My Go where they played, like, you know, when Jeff and Vince had him on castrating. He's like, oh, it would make my life to have me on castrating, and then. If you could, you know, please come on my show. And like, I bought a fucking shirt. I'm going on CTM in January. I support Jeff Lane. I didn't have to fucking beg and backdoor my way in to get on there like John did. And then like 3 months later, he's like, Vince Russo's a fake Christian. All he does is suck people's money out. He doesn't care about any of you. And he cut like a freaking 30-minute promo on Vince. And he did a video that he took down. Jeff did a counterpoint video. It was a big thing going on last year between those two. So he's like, let's do a parody of castrating the marks and let's have fun with it. And it, at the time, me being in the thick of things, he was my best friend. You know what I mean? Like, I was, I got sucked into it, dude. And I was in the trenches and I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And I thought it was fucking fantastic. Like, I thought that was the best shit we ever did. Right. Right. I listened to it back when Get My Go does it, and I'm like, that was fucking dreadful. Like, that was absolutely, how did I ever even think that was even remotely or even had a modicum amount of entertainment? Dude, right. it was fucking bad, and John was so bad, and Dean was so distracted by the fucking bit noise I kept doing that he just kept getting fucking pissed off at me. And then, so, the second one, because the first one was so great, we did too. The second one was when I came on air and Get My Go cut a lot of that out. But I don't know if you ever listened to the original recording of it. I'll send you the link to it if you want to hear it. I mean, it's up to you. But John wanted me to come on the air and pretend to be you.
Really?
Now, the way John portrayed you to me was that you're just this schmuck that just sits on fucking Twitch all day or whatever and just give all your money over to Vince. So he thought you were a fucking moron.
Really?
I swear to God.
How does he even know me?
He was a brand member. I mean, he was in the chats too. I mean, he was in the groups, so he knows. Anybody who's a brand member knows who Troy is. Like, you're a fucking legend, dude. Like, seriously.
I don't know.
No, you are, man. You're fucking awesome. But at the time, you know, he told me that, yeah, this guy's a fucking loser. He just gives all his money to Vince, and I don't know what he does for a living, but he gives thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to Vince. And so he wanted me to portray you as, like, a fucking, as a moron.
Just a freaking idiot.
Yeah, so the only thing I could think of, I did, like, a fucking Beavis impersonation and pretended to be you. So if you want to listen to that, and I wrote a whole fucking script out. I had my wife call on the phone. My wife pretended to be a banker. And she called and says, yeah, your account's been suspended because your credit card's been declined because there's a lot of strange activity on your account because you just kept fucking donating and donating and donating. Oh, yeah. I had this whole script written out. Well, John, with the shitty fucking audio quality, didn't record the phone call and then put it in post-production later. He literally had my wife call, and I put the phone up to the fucking speaker. I've never told this story before. I put the phone up to the fucking speaker, and it sounded like shit. Like, he tried to turn up the gain on it, I think, is the only thing he did when he edited it. But I had this whole script written out that she was to read off. That bit was fucking brilliant. I'm going to pat myself on the back for that.
There you go. Good job.
But no, that's what he wanted me to do. Like, he's like, we're going to attack Jeff Lane. We're going to attack fucking Russo. We're going to attack Troy because he donates all his money. And then on that show, he went after Ben. He went after Stevie. I think he might have went after Feeney. Like, dude, it was bad. So, again, I'm going to apologize for my complicity in that whole bit.
I mean, look at us now. We're on a podcast together, so it's all good. You know?
Yeah, no, it is. And thank you for being so humble and for forgiving me. But, dude, I can never apologize enough because you're just a dude. Like, you're a dude that's entertained. You know, I mean, at least you're friends with Vince. So it's, I mean, you want to see him thrive. You want to support your friend. You want to see him grow. You want to see him expand his business, which is nothing wrong with that. And we need more people like you to do that. And subscribe to Realm and all that, which is so cheap. Right. Subscribe to his Patreon. There's so much content out there. But yeah, if there weren't guys like you and friends and fans of Vince Russo, he would have to go find something else to do or get a real job. So, why would you want to pick on somebody for that? Like, yeah, I don't know.
I guess easy target or something. But yeah, like with the whole like, people don't know Vince but they hate him. Well, people don't know me, so let's make fun of me.
Yep,
it's like that. You know, it's like I think once you get to know me or whatever. And I'm just a guy, chill, you know, just like, I'll have a beer with you. Let's go to a freaking do whatever. I'm down.
Yeah. You're definitely not, you're not a loser. You're not a moron. You're not retarded. You're not, you know what I mean? Like, I've heard it all. Like, and people are not just John, but like, there's other people on Twitter that are, they're fucking mean, dude, for no reason. Like, you're literally just a dude that likes to watch, you know, shit on Twitch and Twitter. And
that's it, man. Just,
like,
to
what's
keep
what,
me entertained, man. That's
right?
It.
What is, like, what's wrong with that? You know what I mean? Like, you're literally not harming anybody. I've never ever once heard you talk shit about somebody that didn't deserve it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So
I'm not here to make beef or to mess with anybody. I'm just here to just do me. You know?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Which I was so happy. I was so happy to see you on Get My Go. I was like, holy fuck,
yeah.
Troy! That was fucking Troy's here. Like, no shit. And I popped for you. Like, I'm serious. Like, I'm a Troy fan, dude. I was like, holy fuck, Troy's here. And that's when I messaged you right after the show. And I'm like, dude, that was fucking awesome. We had so much fun. You need to come on my show. And you're like, yeah, dude, whatever. And I'm like,
that was fun. That Christmas special. Everybody all dressed up. I love that. And then,
it was so crazy.
Oh my gosh. I love that show. Get My Go, everybody. Check it out.
Yeah, and when this drops, I think part two, it's not going to be this Sunday, but the Sunday after, but part two will be out. I think Durban said he's got enough content for possibly three shows. But, dude, it was fun. But, yeah, man, John's a fucking douche canoe, dude. Like,
what made him, like, become so hateful? Like, he was all about Vince, and then now I hate him, and Troy, and everybody else. Why? Like, what changed him to make him so pissed off? And
I wish I knew. I mean, I was there, and I still can't wrap my head around it. Like, even with Feeney, like, he was on Creative Control Network. He'd put Joe over to the fucking moon when he talked to Vince that time. And then he leaves to start his own network, and Joe did nothing to him. Like, he still asked Joe for advice, like, what platform should I go on, blah, 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 blah. He took a lot of tips and stuff from Joe. And I don't remember Joe ever saying a bad word about him. Like, when I first started on Reality Check, which was like January or February of 2019, He's like, oh, yeah, we got, like, a working relationship with Joe Feeney and Creative Control. You know, we're going to cross-promote. And Joe was like, we never fucking, we're going to do that. But that's just the idea that John had in his head, I guess. And that's what he told me. But obviously that never happened. Like, the first show I sent John, I copied in Feeney. Like, he told me to. So, like, I don't know if he thought they were going to work together and kind of piggyback off of them. But, like, dude had all these just delusions of grandeur and had all these big, huge visions for the network. And he was always saying, like, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. You know, this is going to be a great year. You know, I study the algorithms. I study the algorithms. I study, like, marketing and all the buzzwords and hashtags and all that shit. But, dude, and for whatever reason, he snapped on Feeney. And then he snapped on Matt Coon. He snapped on the Grapplers. He snapped on Vince. It's just, I think he likes drama, to be honest. You know what I mean? Like, I think he lives for that. Or he was just trying to get publicity. I couldn't tell you, dude. But the guy's definitely got a fucking screw loose.
I think both.
Yeah.
Publicity and a screw loose and...
They say bad press is good press because at least they're talking about you. But they're not even talking about him in a good way. So I don't even know why... And then he thinks he's in on the joke. You heard the clips, like him and Martin will mention "Get My Go" on their shows, and it's like they think they're fucking cool and they're hip and they're in on it, but they're not. Like, they have zero self awareness. It's
does he literally only have Martin on his podcast? That's it? Just him and Martin?
He's got Martin. Richie Reardon came back, which was the guy that left with me. Okay. He went back. They have an Impact show with a girl named Sunny Salem. Like, everybody he has on his network now, we're all Vampiro Patreons when he had Vampiro on his network for, like, a month. yeah, they're all former Patreon members. So it was Richie, it was Sunny. There's another guy called Corey Ryan, who's a fucking goofball. And Richie was a Patreon member, too. And Martin, fucking Christopher's just been with him forever, and... Yeah, you saw the clips of John telling him, like, talking to me.
Oh, yeah.
Saying, yeah, I'm gonna get rid of Christopher. I'm tired of fucking... He called me the other day. Yeah, he called me. I didn't answer the phone because I didn't want to talk to him, listen to him cry and whine for an hour. And it's like... And the fucking dipshit knows all that, and he still stays with him. He's like, oh, it's in the past. I've forgiven him. And I'm like, dude, if you're that hard up for friends, man, I'm telling you, like... I wouldn't put myself in that position. Like, at this point, I don't know how any of them do it because there's such a negative connotation around them and their shows. Like, no one's going to take them seriously ever again.
I don't. And that's why Get My Go is so freaking badass because they're basically like, they're just complete idiots. I mean, listen to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, like Mike says, with the production value, like with the song in the background, like screaming over the song, and amateurs, man. But it's hilarious. I freaking love it.
Oh, I love it too, man. And as long as he puts out shows, Durban's never going to stop because John made it personal. You know, John tried to get them kicked off of Spreaker when Richie and I put out that pipe bomb show about John when we left the network. Richie and I did our own show on this show on my network. And he actually got that show taken down. He emailed Pro Wrestling Tees, tried to get Mike Durban kicked off of there because Durban did the Get My Go shirts at one point. So it's like he told Vince Russo when he was on Bromance a couple weeks ago, he's like, these motherfuckers just need to go away and die. He's like,
I remember that.
You know, they made this personal. He's like, I'm never going to stop. I'll do 25 more episodes.
25 more, yes.
Yeah, because he won't stop. It's like, dude, Get My Go. It's the gift that keeps on giving. It's the Christmas season.
Every Saturday, it's like a gift.
It's beautiful. It is. And I see your tweets. I see your tweets. You're taking a picture of your TV. You're watching it every Saturday.
I'm on the couch enjoying that, man. Just eating breakfast, whatever. Like, this is the greatest freaking. And you know, like, that's just how I am. Like, if I freaking support you, I'm all in.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
I'll support you no matter what. It's crazy.
And I love it. And I love it about you, man. And you're such a good guy. But We're going to wrap it up here. I'd love to have you back at some point to talk more.
I love that.
It was fun getting to know you. I'm glad I had the opportunity to hook up with you because of Vince and because of Get My Go and all that stuff. It's like, as bad as Wangland is, we've all had more success because of him being such a dick face. You know, like, look, you're on my show now. Yeah. You were on Get My Go. I was on Get My Go. I'm on the Hameen Network, you know, because I left there. And John, funny story, just this is the last thing I'll share. The show we're doing right now is RTW Rewind, is a retro wrestling show. The birth of that came from John telling me that wrestling review shows are dead. Nobody wants to listen to them anymore. You might want to think about changing your style or maybe doing something different. So I said, all right, I'll stop talking about the current product, you know, twice a week. I'll keep my main show, which was the flagship show, talking about, you know, Raw and SmackDown and all that. And I'll create another show, you know, just for retro wrestling. We'll just talk about the old school, like 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. So I was able to do that. I was able to get Nikita Koloff on the show. The Killer Bees were both on. Dr. Tom Pritchard. I had Vince Russo on. Sean Mooney. So I was able to have a lot of, like, older stars on the show. That all came from John telling me, hey, man, I'm looking at your numbers, and, you know, your show sucks, and you need to do something different. Nobody wants to listen to you talk about Raw or SmackDown. Yet, this is the funniest part. Not only that, but he continued to do his own review shows, took a break, came back under Cheap Heat and Cheap Pops, and still does fucking review shows. Like, he did an NXT review show, and it was the first time he had watched NXT in, like, a month. He didn't even know when fucking TakeOver was happening that weekend. But yet he had the balls to tell me that the wrestling review shows are dead, man. You need to do something else. So that show, this show here that we're on right now, was spawned from that, and obviously it got picked up by Hameen Media Group, and you know, the sky's the limit. I'm getting more people now listening to me in one show than he'll get all fucking year. So
I love it. Yeah, it's not going to stop either. So
no, never going to stop. And that, you know, Get My Go came from that, and that has its own cult following, and now it's an audio podcast as well now. Feeney told me the numbers are fantastic on that. They're actually number 30, I think, on the charts today. Probably doesn't want me telling that, but I'll pull the curtain back a little bit. But even that's all because of one douchebag.
One piece of trash. That's
named right. John Wangland that fucked everybody over. And
thought he could get away with it and there'd be no repercussions, but there is.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, we'll never forget shit like that. So
nope.
But yeah, it brought you to me, or me to you. So I'm glad we were able to connect and get together and talk because, dude, you're a class act. You're a great guy. I love getting to know more about you. I'm sure the brand guy, you know, family will love this show because they got to hear a little bit of, you know, about you that they may not have known. And so I'm glad we were able to get a lot, you know, some of your story out there. But, dude, I absolutely appreciate you taking the time. This is, I'm going to mark out for you. And like I said, I've named some of the greatest, you know, wrestlers in history, but I like meeting true class quality individuals like you, that's just a fellow wrestling fan like me, and who's just not a fucking, you know, mindless mark. So you actually have an opinion. So
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, and thank you so much for having me on. And yeah, you're my friend now, so that's
awesome.
You're on the good list.
So, thank God, you know? I don't want to be on your bad list. I've heard stories, but
but I appreciate it so much, man. This is so fun for me, and I'm glad that people will be able to hear me, I guess, because usually they just see Troy on the Twitch and banning people and, you know, doing his thing.
Yeah,
but now they can hear, you know, my side of the story and what's going on with me and how you and me are friends now. And yeah, it's great. I love it.
I like it. I love it too, man. I totally appreciate it. Where can we find you on social media?
You can find me at TroyPock on Twitter. And no Instagram, none of that. So just basically just Twitter.
Just Twitter.
It's like Tupac, but it's TroyPock.
So yeah, and don't confuse them with anybody else, like Troy with some cheers or Troy Bruce. Troy, I don't even know Troy. I don't even know if those accounts are still out there. I haven't seen them in a while, but
I remember Troy with the bits was like it was a hashtag. It was like,
dude, God, right. Some people have no life. I'm telling you,
some people are they're different.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely, thank you.
Thanks again for listening to this episode. You can follow RTW on Twitter at RadTurtlesPod, and you can email the show at RadTurtlesWrestling@gmail.com. We appreciate all of your support. You've been listening to RTW Rewind.